Ask the Expert on The Pat Kenny Show.
With Hidden Hearing. Your hearing is our expertise. Visit hiddenhearing.ie.
Well, now it's time for our Monday Expert. And this week, we are joined by Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone and founder of AskPaul.ie. And we're going to talk about the financial aspects of divorce, not the romantic or lack of, but the financial aspects. So good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Pat.
It's a fraught area.
It is indeed, and one that is fraught with emotions as well. It's probably the most difficult thing someone can go through.
Do you have a piece of general advice? Sort it out before you go into court.
Sort it before you can, if you can. Try and negotiate. But also, even before you maybe get the solicitors involved or before accountants get involved, is do speak to a certified financial planner. And the reason I'm going to say this is that, especially if money is going to be one of the biggest contentious piece of it, let's forget about kids and everything else aside. If it's going to be the money, you need to have a plan of where you are today, and you need to have a plan of where you're going to be after divorce, what it looks like. So where you're going to live, are you going to be able to stay in the property, do you need a second property, are you going to be renting, do you have a pension, do you need pension provision in the future? So there's so many questions to ask yourself, and it's really important that you show up to court with the plan and also a number of plans. So if plan A doesn't go right, what's plan B, plan C? And judges love to see that as well. They love to see that it's thought out right the way through. But there's a load of mistakes I see people making. I know we've got some really good questions in as well, but one of the biggest questions is that people think that once the couple, say, for argument's sake, decide what's going to happen with the family home, that the bank will agree. That's not necessarily the case.
Okay.
The bank have joint and several liability on both people. So it's very important that you contact the bank and make sure that they're up for the agreement you make before you go into court. There's a lot of things to think about. I said, it's pre and post.
Now, the point about the legal teams, I mean, they really don't, they get paid by how much legalisms there are.
100%.
So if you can avoid that and agree among yourselves.
Yeah, if you can avoid that, it's a great outcome. And there's actually, collaborative law was introduced maybe about 10 years ago in Ireland. So there's a really good site if you go on to collaborativelaw.ie. And collaborative law will have a list of financial planners, have a list of accountants, a list of solicitors that try work in the collaborative space. And they're for couples that may be separating and divorce amicably, and they don't need to go into court and trash all out. So it's a situation where everyone sits around the table, all the cards are laid out, you divvy up everything, you think about everything, you write up a recommendation, and it usually just gets signed off by
the judge. Is there any consistency in courts?
No consistency. And the big thing when it comes to family law, and I think people get this sometimes from the movies, and you hear people say it all the time, is they're going to get 50%, or I'm going to get 50%, or I'm not giving up 50%, this type of language. It's not about an equal split, it's an equitable split, and it's down to what the judge deems is equitable if it goes that far. So obviously maintenance and lifestyle and certain conditions have to be met after divorce to make sure they're kept in play. So as I said, finding out what your lifestyle is like now, finding out what your spending is like, and being able to present what you need, not what necessarily you want as well. Mm. What would you want after divorce and what you need financially can be two completely different things. So thinking about it logically and trying to bring a bit of fairness into yourself, because that will actually really shine through on the case. And I suppose when you end up in front of the judge as well, or when you go legal with this, everyone's asked to complete an affidavit of means. And the affidavit of means is a sworn document into the court. And you need to be very, very, very honest. There's no point.
Will they find you out though?
They will. They will. And especially if somebody feels they're being, you know, done over, I suppose. It's when the barristers and the solicitors will bring in the forensic accountants and you're going to get found out there. So, and if that's the case where you've lied on an affidavit or missed an asset or missed shares or whatever it's going to be, example was there, you're looking at a very, very difficult case in front of the judge. And again, you have to remember, the judges are human, they're normal people, and they will have their own feelings about certain matters as well.
Working female judge who figures that this is a young woman who's before me, she should be working.
Yes, there could be, yeah. And then could it be equally be a male judge and have completely different feelings on the same matter? So again, you're going to be able to, it's really important that you get your case. Now, obviously, from a legal point of view, getting a really good solicitor. And also, Pat, just to say this, a solicitor that actually works in family law. Yeah. You want someone that's specialised in family law, not that somebody who's a little bit of family law along with conveyancing and other things. You really need to have somebody that's really specialised in this matter.
Now, the question's coming in. Any advice on a person getting divorced, still finalising the details, but husband will take over the home? Three children, the oldest 13, youngest to 6, two joint mortgage protection policies assigned to the bank with accelerated serious illness. Presume the new policy will be required for husband. And wife sets up her own. Is that the case?
No. So number one, again, you want to make sure the bank are on board with this. So they're saying the husband will take over the home. You want to make sure the bank are okay with the wife in this instance coming off the home, coming off the mortgage rather. You have to get the bank's agreement. The mortgage protection policy doesn't have to be changed, but there does have to be what's called insurable interest. So if the wife is coming out of the home and off the mortgage, which I presume in this is the case, the husband could leave the policy where it is, and the life insurance company will take an amend for taking the wife off, or could leave her on it. The big problem for both people there is what's called accelerated illness cover. If it's a mortgage protection policy, if somebody gets seriously ill, the money automatically goes to the bank, Pat. It doesn't come to the client, which isn't great, in my opinion, because you want to decide what you're going to do with that money. You don't might need to pay the mortgage off, for argument's sake. You might need treatment. But yeah, you can leave everything the way it is there, but you do want to make sure that
It mentions here the wife has public service pension and death in service as well.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. There might be a pension adjustment order put on the pension if the husband has no pension. But that, again, is down to negotiation, what the judge takes into consideration. Mm. But the big one here is that with the two younger children, if the husband's staying in the take over the house, is you have to make sure if there is a mortgage outstanding, which there is, that the bank are on side with that happening. It's down to the bank, not the judge.
Next one. My ex-husband and myself separated 20 years ago, but we've never divorced. We've talked about it recently. We have two grown-up children and he currently has a partner. Neither of us has made a will. If we don't divorce before either of us die, what is the position for inheritance?
This is a really, really, really good question. There's thousands of people across the country like this. Let's remember, divorce only came in 1996, so we're relatively young with divorce in this country. So a lot of people in this situation, yours are still husband and wife. You're still treated as husband and wife under tax. You're still married if you're not divorced. So in that case, if there's no will, assets will go tax-free between spouses. I would really recommend getting a will as soon as possible. Especially after that much time has elapsed, 20 years.
My husband and I broke up many years ago, but I have no actual separation documentation, even though I was awarded full custody of my son. My husband has never paid maintenance or supported us in any way over the years, and when we broke up, I was left with my child only. I now have a good job with a private pension I built up since we separated. I also have shares in a company. Does my ex-husband have a claim on any of this, or is my son classed as my next of kin? My ex lives abroad and is not of Irish descent.
In fairness, you have an issue there. You need a will straight away, and the will can be afforded to your son in this case. It doesn't have to go necessarily to the ex. But if there was no will in place and something was to happen, the assets are going back, technically speaking, with no will to the husband. I mean, this is a massive problem for people that haven't actually gone through the divorce process, or are still on a separated piece, or like this for decades, living apart.
So, and what about ownership of the family home, for example? Even though one person might have paid the mortgage again, and
any assets on death, it just follows. The same rule, which is going to go to the spouse, or what you'd like to call the next of kin. Now there'd be a case here for the son to contest it and would probably win but you don't want that hassle, and you don't want to have, especially after someone's at the passing away. And this is why I always say a will, regardless whether you're going through a divorce or whether you're happily married, a will is a really, really, really important document because it sets out your wishes after death, but it also stops the estate having to go through the likes of the grant, the probate, and trying to get all the assets together. So it's exceptionally important.
Another one. Can you split a life policy without medicals?
It depends. So there's a really good option on life policies. Anyone's thinking of getting a life policy, make sure you have this on it. It's called a conversion option. So under the conversion option, you can technically take out another policy or two policies, and you don't need any fresh medical evidence. If you don't have a conversion option on your policy, typically speaking, a mortgage protection policy, Pat, wouldn't have a conversion option. But conversion options roll right the way through your full term. You can execute them at any time with most policies. So yes, if there's a conversion option, is the answer there.
You should look for that.
Just check that.
Did Paul really say judges' feelings can determine the outcome of a case?
Yes, I did. And I've seen it. I've been an expert witness in the family law course before. And, as much as, again, you have to realise that judges are people.
Their own life experiences will bring to bear.
100%. And also, you've got to remember is for family law, there's no set kind of guidelines. It's really down to what the case is put before the judge on the day. I mean, you've often heard, hear this all the time. This isn't a great judge for you. This isn't going to be a great judge. We better settle. We better look at this. So I am saying it, and I think barristers and solicitors will agree with me because they would have seen it firsthand.
A friend of mine has been paying the mortgage in full, but in the event of this separation which is happening, he thinks he's getting 100% of the house.
So again, if that's so, usually what would happen is in a separation or a divorce, that either through negotiation or negotiation of the solicitors, the barristers, or a case that gets in front of the judge, it might be a case where one person will receive less equity in the property. So it might be a case where the person paying the mortgage or more of the mortgage might have 60 or 40%. But it also goes down when they bought the property, how much was put into the property back then. Did someone have a previous house that sold for equity? So there's loads of different things to consider. But technically speaking, if there's no agreement and somebody is still on the deeds of their property, they own 50% of the property. And so the asset of the house is one thing, the mortgage is the other thing. So just because you pay down the mortgage and the mortgage is gone, if you have no agreement, yes, you actually are going to be in difficulty there.
I'm separated living in Ireland. My ex is living abroad. I've paid off the mortgage. My husband doesn't want the house and is willing to have it put in my name solely. What can be done?
So you need to go to court to get it done, have an agreement and get it signed off. That's what the agreement
is
for
the couple. You can't do it.
But you can do a joint and get it signed off by the judge, maybe. Did they say the divorce or separated? What did they say? Sorry, Pat.
I'm separated.
Separated, yeah. So under a separation agreement, it will stand up. If they're going to go towards the divorce, you want to make sure that's part of the divorce decree when it gets there.
If your ex-partner no longer resides in the country and you have no idea where they are, what are the steps that you can put in place to process a separation and go on then to a divorce? There is a pre-existing deed of separation in place.
Very, very difficult. I'm going to have to pass that over to the legal team to answer, because that's not a financial question. That's a real legal question. I definitely would say be reaching out to a solicitor, especially if you have the separation already in order. But it is very, very difficult to move anything through a court when you haven't got the other person. It really is.
I'm divorced. My ex had a lot of American and Irish credit card debt. Will our kids inherit his debts?
No, absolutely. No, sorry. Oh, the kids under the, if he passes away. Yeah. Well, technically speaking, yeah, the estate does, sorry, I thought you meant for the spouse. For the children, yes, technically the estate will. So somebody passes away and you have assets and liabilities, it's a true up into the estate. So technically speaking,
so
yes.
To write off his liabilities.
Yes. But some of the credit card companies will have a no follow through policy where they won't follow. It depends on what the debt is. So for argument's sake, a mortgage debt will go through, Pat. So if you have a mortgage on a property and you pass away, the property be sold and the mortgage be cleared in that case.
Final one. If my partner is not divorced but makes a will for his belongings to go to me if he passes, does this overrule his wife getting something because they're married?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, so your will can go to whichever
anyway,
way you want. Yeah, your will can go to anywhere. Yeah, the dog's home for a good example.
Okay, Paul, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we have time for. Loads of questions coming in as usual, just as our conversations get underway. A reminder, though, that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the News Talk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.